Hey everybody, this is Sophie and welcome to episode 445 of the Big Boo Cast. On this episode, Melanie and I have a lot to say about college baseball regionals. It was a big time. There were a lot of developments. We're also going to talk about Mississippi State's new baseball coach. I'm so excited about it. And we're going to talk about something new that Perry has been watching. We would love for you to join us on Patreon if you haven't done that yet. It's at patreon.com/bigboo. Our most recent episode was with Alex Hudson. We talked all about his trip to Japan, what he learned, what he saw, how he felt about it. We would also love for you to stop by our Amazon shop to see some of the things that we love and love to use. That's amazon.com/shop/bigboo. Finally, if you have not yet purchased your tickets for San Antonio, our live show in October of this year, it is not too late. We're going to have a big crowd there. It's going to be a ton of fun, and we hope you can join us. So be sure to check out the link in the show notes if you are interested in purchasing tickets. Alrighty, everybody. Thanks so much for being here, and we hope you enjoy episode 445. Hey, everybody. This is Sophie. This is Big Mama.
Hey, it's Melanie. It's Big Mama.
And this is now, apparently, I'm guessing, UTSA podcast affiliate.
Let me tell you something. Mimi, that's what I'm going to tell you. Today, I am a UTSA Roadrunner. I have never been more proud of a baseball program. I've never been more delighted. Mm-hmm. I'm going to tell you that it took everything in me. Here's how I know that I've grown as a person, because the amount of times that I created this story last night with this picture of Schloss's face embedded on Wile E. Coyote with the Roadrunner holding up a sign saying, "That's all, folks," and nearly had Taylor Swift's Karma playing in the background. I can't even tell you. I came so close to posting it. And then I was like, you know what? The Holy Spirit has done a work in me, and I'm going to be a bigger person. Yes. I'm going to be a bigger person. But don't think I wasn't thinking it, and don't think I wasn't delighted to see it.
So explain to the listeners who have not been glued to college baseball all weekend what this particular scenario was.
So essentially what had happened was that the University of Texas Longhorns were hosting a regional at their stadium. They were set up to succeed. What I'm telling you is it felt like it was a pretty cupcake regional.
Teed up for victory is how I felt when I saw their regional lineup. But what do I know?
Yeah. And I just thought they're gonna waltz right through to their super regional. This is it. And I was kind of like, it is what it is. This is what always happens. And so, but then what happened on Saturday, I can't remember how far up, but I want to say the Longhorns were up, I think 6-1 on UTSA. And UTSA, who is their satellite sister school that they really would like to look down on, that UTSA came back and won that game, which then put the Longhorns in the elimination bracket. So the Longhorns, and you know, once you're in the dreaded elimination bracket, it becomes really hard. They were going to have to win three games.
You have to win 19 games over the course of 24 hours in order to move on to a super regional.
Yeah. So they played K-State yesterday afternoon and they beat them, but then they had to play UTSA again. And I'm going to tell you that I think by the second inning, it was 7-0 UTSA.
Yeah.
It was a delightful way to spend a Sunday evening. I mean, just watching, first of all, I feel bad for the 7 Texas fans that were actually there in the stadium. Mm. And here's my other thing is for all the times that he who shall not be named griped about how the Aggies and our fans need to turn out and where are our fans and blah, blah, blah. I wanted to say, well, sir, it looks like you chose poorly because I don't see your fans in this. What I see are some Roadrunners is what I see. Mm. And it was like you could hear a pin drop watching the game.
Well, I was texting with my friends Tracy and Catherine all through the weekend as the baseball was happening. Because there, listen, the regionals were just a delight for people.
They really were,
and I say that as a person whose team was eliminated, right?
Yes,
but I do think my Bulldogs overachieved by making it to a regional. They started at 1-9 in SEC play.
Yeah,
they came back. In the middle of the loss of their coach and really turned it on the last half of the season and didn't do poorly in the regional, I don't think. I mean, if you go down to FSU, I can respect that because that's, you know, one of the top teams nationally and all that to say. But Tracy and Catherine and I were texting all through the games this weekend. And Tracy said last night, she was like, how happy will Melanie be if Texas gets knocked out? And I was like, oh my gosh, like it's almost as good for you as an A&M win, honestly.
You know, as you know, A&M season, we did not make it to a regional. We had a terrible season overall. But now we have decided since the last podcast, they have come out and we are keeping Coach Early, which I feel like is the right move. I know they're not happy about it. And there are people that wish that we had made the change. I think one season is way too fast to make a change. I think it sets a horrible precedent. So I'm really glad that we decided to keep him, even though the season was not what we hoped for. It really was a balm to my soul. To know that now also the Longhorns, who apparently had already imprinted Omaha on the inside of their baseball cleats.
Okay. A comfort in these uncertain times.
It really was.
That the Longhorns will not, in fact, be going to a super regional and certainly not to Omaha.
And certainly not to Omaha. But on the other hand, too, I love an underdog story. So yes. And the fact that Vandy got knocked out.
Oh, my gosh.
That was insane.
Flipping over to the Vandy-Wright State game yesterday. Like, I was waiting on the Vandy comeback. And they did make a little bit of a comeback in the ninth inning. They couldn't pull ahead. But no. I was like, okay, Wright State. I had to Google Wright State. I had to learn more. Because I thought, what in the world if you are a Wright State baseball player and you draw the Vandy regional to play against Vanderbilt and you just take it. You just, I mean, what an achievement. It's impressive.
Honestly. I mean, and I think in Georgia's out, I love to see the underdogs come through. Listen, my East Carolina Pirates are out. They ended up losing their regional, but I feel like now, listen, UTSA is my team. So I will be cheering for them. By all accounts, they will probably have to play, I would think UCLA in a super regional, which is going to be tough.
Yeah.
But listen, I mean, they went into Dish Falk and look what they did. So I'm real happy for them. I felt like their Coach Hallmark, that man in the ninth inning looked like, I was like, he looks the, like I feel like we could both throw up right now.
I'm like, telling you what, the coaches, I really feel for the coaches. The FSU coach got thrown out of our game last night, early in the game, because, it was a whole scenario. It was chippy. It was a chippy, chippy game. And our pitcher, in fairness, had a lot to say when he came off the mound, and Florida State's coach didn't like it. And I'm going to tell you, he got in it with that official and they threw him out. I just feel like everybody's walking a very fine emotional line. You know, rage on one side, complete and utter abject fear on the other.
Yeah. Yeah. It was really something to watch. I mean, there were some great baseball games. I mean, there were some potential comebacks where you thought this is going to be it, but man, it just was something. And I'm going to tell you that to add just a little bit more joy to my day, the other thing that happened was I think it was during the K-State game, they cut to interview Coach Loss. And when he ended his interview, he said, gig 'em, I mean, hook 'em.
Yeah, he sure did.
And I'm going to tell you that just all of that really... my heart grow 10 sizes.
Of your delight can be measured in the number of times you have told us so far in this episode that you were going to tell us.
Yeah.
You were going to tell us.
It's where I am. Mm-hmm. It just felt like it was a fitting into just a lot of things that had happened.
Sure. So, it feels like justice a little bit. And that's not a dig at the Longhorns. That is purely based on the decisions and the choices that Coach Schlossnagel has made.
Yeah.
It feels right that he would not get to make a return to Omaha. And I think that probably most people can understand why that feels right if you mm-hmm. look at the circumstances from last year. So
yeah, that's how I felt. And mm-hmm. and here's the okay, so here's a question that I'm going to pose to you, because at the end of that game last night, the thing that the announcer said was he said something about, I don't know if he used the phrase dugout, but he said basically a dugout of junkyard dogs is how he referred to UTSA as okay. a team. Mm-hmm. And I get what he's saying, because you're like, they don't have the NIL money. They don't have all those things. But when you look, and listen, this is not me casting stones at anybody. This is a legitimate question that I feel like everybody keeps asking. But when you look at Georgia getting eliminated, Vandy getting eliminated, yeah. Texas getting eliminated, is this where we're seeing the NIL money? Like even what happened to A&M this year, like, are we seeing where you can't replace heart with money?
I thought about something really similar when I was watching the USM Columbia game mm-hmm. because it was so competitive. You know, like those guys were out there, they were fighting. And I know that these are D1 programs, it's not that. But you look at these kids who go to programs that maybe don't get as much national press or recognition, yeah. and you see how hard they fight. And that's the thing where I think, well, I don't know how you compensate for that, right? Like, I don't know. There's no price to put on that. And you wonder if to a certain extent, the kids who are not in programs that maybe have as much money coming in with NIL are not a little bit more driven to prove something when it gets to something like the regionals and the super regionals.
Yeah.
These kids aren't making $250,000. No. To come in and pitch on Friday nights.
No.
And or whatever people are being paid. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I thought about, because my mama went to USM, so I'm always going to watch their games, you know, if I'm aware that they're on television and it's a Mississippi school. It's a different vibe than these huge, you know, giant SEC, ACC ballparks.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, they're going to play for a regional championship tonight. So I don't know. I think that they're, yeah. to a certain extent, maybe it helps your team culture when you don't have superstars.
That's what I'm saying. Like mm-hmm. everybody's kind of in it. You're in it for the team. You're in it for the win. There's not all this disparity between somebody's making $1 million and somebody else is only making $20,000. Like I don't know. You have more to play for, because does it mean more to get to? I mean, and I know all these kids want to get to a super regional.
Was that shade? Does it mean more? Well, I don't know.
It
can't mean more than the SEC, Melanie. We're loyalists when it comes to that. But
it's true. But I'm just saying, like, what's going on? And is this part of it? Like, you know, where you're not going to see, I don't know, the dynamics have changed.
Yeah.
So
I love seeing the parity, right? Because mm-hmm. I love that because the infusion of cash into college athletics, into the hands of players, I'm not against compensating players. But I don't like the notion, and we've talked about this with Cole, I don't like the notion that a kid can just hop around.
Yeah.
And without developing a sense of loyalty to a team and a team developing a sense of loyalty to the kid. I think that's a huge part, at least in all my years of playing college athletics, right?
Yeah.
I think that's a huge part of the experience that really matters. I like seeing that there's still parity. I like seeing that there's still a chance for a Wright State to come in and beat a Vanderbilt, you know?
Totally agree.
And to do it in a format where you don't just win one time. You know, it's not a fluke. You have mm-hmm. you've won three games to get to the point where you've gotten the championship. And so I think it's interesting.
I just think it's interesting. And I'm going to say this too. I thought about this. So A&M, we open up our football season with UTSA. We play a home football game against UTSA on August 30th. And I thought, you want to talk about some fans that are going to be treated like royalty in College Station? You want to say how we're going to all be one big family when UTSA rolls into town? I mean, you're never going to see fans that are just as welcomed with open arms right. as we will welcome the UTSA Roadrunners.
That's right. We're all Roadrunners now.
We're all Roadrunners.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so, well, and I was excited already about that game because I went and had dinner with my friends, Patty and Ron, this past week, and their son coaches for UTSA. So we were talking about all being at that game and what that would look like. And now I'm like, it's going to be more fun than ever. So, which is good because August 30th, you need a reason to want to go to a game because it's going to be 175 degrees.
Oh, it's going to be terrible. Now,
terrible.
Mississippi State had some exciting news, a big development in our baseball program late last night. And I don't know how I feel about the timing of this, but I understand why they did it.
Yes.
Because we had lost the game to Florida State 35 seconds earlier. And then State posts on social media that we have a new head baseball coach.
Mm-hmm.
And Mississippi State hired Brian O'Connor, who was the head coach for many years at the University of Virginia. I have really, like, he's one of those coaches. I feel like I have watched him from afar because I like his whole vibe. I like his demeanor in the dugout. I like the way he interacts with kids. I've never seen this in person, except from afar at the College World Series. But what has been really funny, I mean, it's a big hire for State, and it says a lot to me about State's investment in their baseball program, which does mean the world to us as Bulldogs.
Yeah.
I'm very excited with the hire. Yeah. I have been very entertained today to see some of the Virginia fans' reactions. Mm-hmm. Because if you are an alumni of the University of Virginia, you might be puzzled why somebody would go to Starkville, Mississippi, right? Like, that's not necessarily the trajectory you think that somebody's career should follow, but I think we have a lot to offer in terms of baseball. I think we have a lot to offer in terms of the culture around our baseball program. And I'm very, very proud of this particular hire. So I'm very excited to see how Coach O'Connor is welcomed into Starkville and very excited to see what he's going to do.
Yeah. I think, listen, I'm going to say, pun intended, it's a home run hire. I feel like that's a... I feel like he was a great hire. And it was funny because you had texted me that people were talking about that. And then that was before we had announced that we were keeping early. And I knew I went on TexAgs and people were debating, like, what's the better job, Mississippi State or A&M? And everybody was talking about how Mississippi State is a baseball school. Like, I mean, the facilities can't be beat. Y'all have a great legacy there. So I think it'll be exciting to see what he does there.
Yeah, there was, I sent you a, well, I didn't send you the whole post today, but there was a Virginia fan that posted on one of their message boards that, and this ended up on the Mississippi State message boards, that they were like, well, if he wants to go to a plastic stadium, you know, and I was like, oh, see, you haven't been there. Like, it is a beautiful, beautiful facility. It's really, I think the world of a lot of baseball facilities. I love college baseball. I would put ours up against anybody. And it's for sure a baseball school. So it'll be exciting to see him get there. I do feel for the kids, like, just to have lost a coach halfway through the season and then adjusted to Justin Parker, who did an incredible job as the interim, who has been our pitching coach. And now they've got to wrap their heads around. I mean, y'all had a similar vibe last season.
Yeah.
You know, now they've got to wrap their heads around, oh, here comes a new guy. Is he going to want me here? Mm-hmm. Who's he going to bring in? Is it going to fit my playing style? Like, I know it raises a ton of questions, but he does feel like somebody who can steady a ship really quickly. So. Yeah. I'm thrilled with the fact that he's coming to Starkville, and I think Mississippi State fans will make sure that he feels welcome. So,
oh, I feel certain. I feel certain. They're gonna have some potato salad waiting for him there.
So Melanie's saying that because some Virginia fans really were like adamant that enjoy your Walmart potato salad, Coach O'Connor, like that's the most we have to offer in Mississippi is some potato salad from Walmart. And I'm going to say we got a lot of good potato salads in Mississippi, but I don't think that played into his decision at all.
No, I would feel certain that he wasn't like, but where is the potato salad going to be the best? More importantly.
Anyway, that's going to be fun to watch that roll out over the next couple of days. And it's also going to be fun to watch Super Regionals. And I'm really pulling for Auburn. I hope they can make it to Omaha. I think.
Yeah, me too.
I would love to see them get it done. Arkansas is in a good spot to make it to Omaha again.
Yeah.
And so,
like LSU's got a
LSU, of course. Yes. Yep. So, yep. That, I mean, again, we'll be well represented there. But
I'm for sure.
Always sad when any baseball season comes to an end for my team, just because, you know, you always hope it could go a little further than it did.
Yeah, but this one has been crazy. I mean, I feel like it's funny because with Vandy, I felt their pain because they were like, you've never had a number one seed not make it, I think, to a super regional. And it was like A&M's, it was our number one softball team to not make it. Like, I was like, that is just a gut punch. Like, I always kind of go through the thing in my mind of what's worse, to kind of see the writing on the wall and know, like, it's just not our season, or to feel like, listen, because if I had been a Vandy fan, I would have had my room booked in Omaha. I would have been planning that trip. I would have, you know, marked off my calendar. And now you're like, that's just not happening.
I know. Listen, I don't mean to be petty. No. But at least we know there will be no Whistler in Omaha, right?
Listen,
I mean, can we all be thankful for that?
Yeah.
Can we all be thankful for that?
No.
So,
we don't hear that.
I alternated my baseball watching. I'd forgotten that there was a new season of this show. And I can't. Listen, if you are bothered by situations that are different than your own real life situation, this is not going to be for you. But if you are fascinated by human behavior, this will be for you. I've mentioned couples therapy before, the show from Showtime, where different couples go in for therapy with a psychoanalyst. And I just realized last week that there was a new season of this show. I'm going to tell you what, I couldn't watch FSU bat at all in our last game because, as I've told you, it interfered with my hope. You know, it really interfered with my ability to enjoy the game. So I would switch to couples therapy every time FSU would come up to bat. And my gosh, it is, to me, the most, is addictive a bad word to use? It's fascinating. It is fascinating to get that kind of look into other people's lives. I can't imagine some of the things that some of these people are dealing with. And then to hear them just like lay it out, and then Dr. Orna to come in and, you know, try to help them through it. It's really something else. So Casey and I have watched it for a while. I think Casey was the first one of us to watch it, and then I watched it. And so we've gotten Steph to watch it. And I mean, she has blazed. She has made such really impressive progress through it. But Steph remembers everybody's names, and I don't. So Casey has suggested that the next time we get together, we have some flashcards or something with everybody's picture so we can kind of remember. But goodness. The other thing that I did this weekend that I haven't done in a long time is I went to a one-year-old's birthday party. Do you remember those days?
Very vaguely, but I admire you for going. How was it?
it was great. This is my friend Matthew and his wife Hannah. Their little boy Henry turned one. And it was actually on mine and David's anniversary. Our 28th anniversary was Saturday, which, you know, at this stage really amounts to saying happy anniversary. And then you're done.
Yeah.
So I went to little Henry's birthday party, but I got so stressed out trying to pick out a gift because I don't know what the one-year-old's like these days.
They're so picky.
The one-year-old's into? I don't know. So I ran by the bookstore. I got Henry some trucks, and I got him a book that Alex used to love. But I felt stressed. And I thought, you know, I used to go buy birthday presents all the time.
Yeah.
But I don't know what's in vogue here in the year of our Lord 2025 for the new toddlers.
No. So we don't know the shows. We don't know the shows that they watch.
No, yeah. I don't know any of it. So I don't know what they're wearing. I don't understand. I would go buy something that people haven't used in 20 something years, you know? So, but it all worked out fine. I think trucks are always a good call. I think a book 100% is a good call.
Yeah.
But that was the first time I have been in the presence of a little kid with a smash cake in a minute.
I know. You think that you're just, it's like when you go through that season where like it's all weddings and you're just tons of weddings, and then you're done, and then your baby showers, and then your birthday parties. And we're just kind of in this weird in between right now.
Yes. We are. I told you this, but I was just at the grocery store and there were a couple of different moms who came into the store in VBS t-shirts with their small children who were also in VBS t-shirts. And I almost had to bend over and hold my knees because that mm-hmm. is such a specific sensory memory of tired.
Yes.
Like the VBS tired, mm-hmm. the getting up that early every day and then going and doing essentially like a rec league at church for,
yeah.
Oh my gosh. Like I was so tired. I thought, oh, this is Monday. You're just getting started. You've got a whole week of this. And mm-hmm. the Lord be with you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You've got crafts galore. Listen, I thought the same because I walk part of like my little route I go with Mabel is by our pool, you know, by the neighborhood mm-hmm. pool that we went to for a gazillion years when Caroline was growing up. And when I walked by this morning, I mean, the amount of moms hauling kids out of Tahoes with the floats and the things yes. and trying to keep one here and the other one and somebody's screaming. And I was like, man, that was a different season.
I mean, and you really did your time at the pool.
Listen, we got our money's worth out of that pool.
You would even eat chicken fingers, remember?
Oh, yeah. I would. The chicken mm-hmm. fingers cooked by teenage kids. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, that was, but the pool was our, I mean, for years. And that's one of those, I really did think last week, I was like, that's such a funny thing that for years, like from the first summer Caroline was born. So like she was born August 2003. So like starting summer 2004, like we spent more days during the summer at that pool than anywhere mm-hmm. else for years and years and years. And then one day we went to that pool for the last time and I didn't know that we did.
You didn't know.
I didn't know. Like, I think it was probably when she was like 11 or 12, like mm-hmm. all of a sudden it was like, we're done with the pool. You know, it wasn't cool anymore. Her friends had moved on. Everybody did something different. And that was the end. But man, mm-hmm. we spent a lot of time and they've added pickleball courts now. I'm like, they've really upgraded the pool.
Yeah. Well, and Gully could have taken on a whole new hobby.
We really could. Well, and I remember when the kids were little, you would see every now and then these older like couples or older people who still join the pool and they would just like be there laying out in the sun reading a book. And I kind of always thought I would do that. Turns out no, because why would I want to do that with screaming children all around?
It just not scream relaxation.
No.
I just feel like it would be. Mm-mm.
No. So anyway, but that's that. But I fell into a funny little rabbit hole this weekend that I had kind of forgotten about. But I'd had the TV on because I was looking for different baseball games on Saturday. Perry went down to the ranch for the day. And so I was home and I'd kind of straightened up the house and then I went to turn on the TV and I was flipping through trying to find all the different games. But what I landed on was that AMC was running a Mad Men marathon.
Oh my goodness.
And so I found myself smack dab in the middle of season 4 of Mad Men, and it sucked me in. Like, I've always kind of thought in my mind, I loved that show the first time it was on. Like,
I did too. I loved that show.
But it's very heavy, you know? So, like, rewatching it isn't like rewatching, like, Friends or The Office or whatever. So I'd kind of always been like, would that be a show I would rewatch? But I'm going to tell you that I am now halfway through season 5 because I couldn't. I couldn't quit watching it. Like, it's so good. Although I did this morning wake up and thought, man, I feel kind of depressed. And I thought, well, maybe it was the 75 episodes of Mad Men.
I remember the first time I ever watched Mad Men, I was sick on mm-hmm. like a Sunday afternoon. I didn't feel well at all. And I got on the couch because Alex was still pretty small. And so if I was on the couch, he could at least play around me, you know? Mm-hmm. And, but I remember when he took a nap or he and David went and did something, I turned on Mad Men and I watched so many episodes in a row.
Yeah.
And it does mess with you a little bit. It really does. It's not light. Binge. It's not frothy. No. It's not. It's a dark existential situation.
It was. I was so undone by some of Don Draper's decisions, some of his life decisions by the time I went to bed last night that I was like, so maybe I need to come up for air. You know what I mean? Like maybe I need to take a little break. And so, but man, it's good though. I mean, the acting is so good. The cast, I mean, just everything about it, the wardrobe, it got me again. Like I was like, the clothes are so good.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the sets and like Dawn and Megan's apartment that they live in. I'd forgotten how much I love that whole situation.
Beautiful.
It was beautiful. So, but mm-hmm. then I'm going to tell you that Perry told me Friday night. So we went to go eat Mexican food because, listen, we're just living the dream. I'm like, Caroline's texted us, and she's like, here I am. I'm on a gondola in Venice. And I'm like, oh, here we are at El Catrín eating Mexican food. Here's your dad and I. It's 5:30. We're eating Mexican food on a Friday night. But we got home Friday night, and Perry was sitting there, and he gets, you know, he's got his computer up or whatever. And he said, you know, something that I've really started watching, he goes, that I really like. He said, this is like a very specific thing to me. But apparently Perry has really gotten into, it's on YouTube. I don't know if it's a series or if it's just a series of videos, but it's a guy named Reed the Fishmonger.
Okay. All right.
And this is, it turns out, I told Perry, I said, you don't know what ASMR is, but this is your ASMR, because what Reed the Fishmonger does is he owns a fish market. And so he shows all these different cuts of fish, and it's the way he cleans them and the way he, like, the different cuts of meat he gets out of these different fish. That's what Perry watches. You would never survive it.
That is some grade A papaw programming right there. I mean, really, you gonna sit and watch somebody cut up a fish?
Yeah,
read willingly.
The fishmonger. Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. But apparently he shows all the different cuts, all the different things. And I mean, I'm going to tell you that Perry's not the only one, because you know how many subscribers Read the Fishmonger has? 673,000 subscribers.
Well done, well done, yeah. Read the Fishmonger.
Yeah. But anyway, but last night, apparently he did a whole thing. Perry was watching. It's the truth about tilapia. And if you've heard that tilapia isn't good for you, that's not necessarily true. That tilapia is a fine fish.
Oh, I'm so glad to know it. I like tilapia.
Mm-hmm.
It gets a bad rap sometimes.
It does. But apparently it doesn't matter if you get farm-raised or fresh. All tilapia is pretty much, there's pros and cons to both. And so, anyway, Perry was telling me about that. But, I mean, he does, you know, there's different fish. So if you're interested in that, just know that there really is a show for everybody.
What you're saying, without saying it, is that you have also learned a lot about fish, because I have full confidence that as Perry has learned, he has shared that with you.
Yes, he has.
David and I have had that discussion recently, because, you know, last weekend he and Joel went and did a bourbon crawl in Kentucky. Mm-hmm. And they went to it was weekend before last. They went to four different distilleries, and both David and Joel love to learn. They love to learn. But David does not necessarily like to tell you what he's learned. Like, he's not necessarily going to relay that information. You know, like, he's going to hold it close. He's going to think about it. It may come up down the road, but he's not going to recap it. Now, he did kind of get into it a little bit at dinner Friday night about different bourbons, but that's neither here nor there. But that's not his primary drive when he learns something new. But whereas I think Perry does, as he gets information, he's so delighted to share it with other people, right?
100%.
How can you go on living if you don't know this about tilapia? I mean, it's going to improve the quality of your life to know. I'm going to share it with you.
Yeah. And so now I know. And now I know. So I am not going to watch the show, because, as you know, I already have enough problems with fish.
Yes.
And so I certainly don't need to see them in their natural state. You know, like, that's a bridge too far for me. Yeah. But anyway, just, you know, in case you're looking for something, or your husband needs something to watch, or you yourself or someone who would like to watch different fish being processed, just know that that exists. And that is why I am 18 episodes into Mad Men, is what I will tell you. So.
Bless it. Hey, there is a new episode of Love Island, by the way. Steph just texted me and told me. So we have that to look forward to today.
Oh, good. Love Hotel, not Love Island.
Yes. Love Hotel. I'm so sorry. Yes.
There is a Love Island.
Yes. I have not watched that. Yeah. But there's a new episode of Love Hotel. So
listen,
we have
that
today.
Mm-hmm. I cannot wait. Excited. I'm so excited. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, on that note, is it time for five favorites?
Time for five favorites. I'm going to kick us off with a robe. And I know you're a robe person. I am mm-hmm. not necessarily a robe person, but I have, because we have company a good bit, I have identified that I have a need maybe for a robe, you know, like just a little something to throw on top of my pajamas in the morning. Mm-hmm. And so I have discovered this lightweight waffle robe. Lightweight is a key word for me with a robe, because I don't like to be overly warm. But this robe is on Amazon. It's just a little waffle robe. It comes in tons of colors. It is so soft.
It's cute.
Delightfully soft. It comes in a short and a long. I got the longer version because I sleep in pajama shorts a lot. And so I thought, well, if I really am trying to put something on, like, you know, to go make breakfast or whatever, I'm going to go long. Mm-hmm. So, but I love it. And I'm excited about the possibilities for this robe when I travel, because it's thin enough and lightweight enough that I can just roll it right on up and put it in a suitcase. So,
that's delightful.
Yeah. So just a little lightweight summer robe that maybe others will enjoy. The second thing, and I know how protein is one of your favorite things to talk about right now, Melanie. I wanted to bring the conversation back around, but I got some of it's Khloe Kardashian's popcorn, which is a sentence I never thought I'd say, but it's the Cloud White Cheddar Protein Popcorn. And I got some from Thrive Market, just like can't hurt, might help kind of situation. Because I do love popcorn. And I particularly love a white cheddar popcorn. It's one of my favorite snacks. And this is really good. It's not super, super salty. Like if I were to get into the recipe of it, I might add a little bit of salt. But it's actually, you know, it's not a bad thing, because fingers don't get swollen the next day after you've eaten it. But it's really good. There are different varieties. I haven't tried all the varieties, but the white cheddar one I like. And
I actually got some of this as well. You and I were tracking, because I got some, and I will agree. At first I was like, I don't know, protein popcorn. I was ready for it to taste like styrofoam packing peanuts, but it's really good. Delicious.
Yeah. It tastes like any white cheddar. It's not quite like the smart food white cheddar, but also, I mean, I've tried other white cheddar popcorns where it's like eating a packing peanut. Yeah. And this is not that at all. So
yeah, no, it's good.
Go get it, Khloe. I mean, good for you. All right. The third thing, you know about this thing because we've talked about it, but I'm going to share what I believe is the cutest like pants set I have seen in some time. It's dressier. I love it so much. It's from Anthropologie. And it's just a shirt and pants. As I've told Melanie, I'm wearing this to a wedding I have coming up. The brand's called Conditions Apply, and it has a long sleeve collared shirt and then some real wide leg pants. And it is so soft. It's so colorful. I think it's super fun, but also like really feminine, and I just love it. And if the pattern I got is not for you, it also comes in some other there's a navy, and then there's also kind of a sky blue that I think is really pretty, but I just happened to get it in sort of the off-white color with the bright pinks, and
it's so pretty.
Mm-hmm, and a little turquoise in it. So anyway, it's my favorite kind of dressier sort of outfit I've had in a minute. So just
it's really
shoot.
Pretty.
Loves Korean sunscreens, but this is called, I think it's, I don't know if I'm saying this right, but it's the Abib, maybe, Airy Sunstick. Okay. Let me tell you something, because, you know, I use the tinted super goop sunscreen, like if I'm going to put makeup on, this sunscreen, it's like a little speed stick. It's a solid, and it's contoured, and then you open it, and it perfectly fits the contours of your face, and you just roll it around your face and on your neck. And then I kind of smooth it in with my hands, and it has the most luxurious like feel to it. Like it makes your skin feel so soft. But I love the delivery method. I love that I don't have to like squeeze it and rub my hands together. Like I love being able to rub it on my face, and then I kind of smooth it in. But it's like it's really good. And so I'm passing that along. This will be my go-to for when I don't wear any makeup. You know, like if I'm just leaving the house and don't want to put anything on, because it feels so good on your face. And I don't know when I've ever said that about a sunscreen.
Oh, that's so fascinating. Okay. Well, I feel like I'm going to order that to try.
Yes. And then the last thing is I'm going on a trip at the end of the month and I've been looking for a cover up. And so I found two that I really like, because I also am not opposed to throwing on one of these and going to dinner in it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I love a caftan. These are actually, it's the same brand. So this is all a one size situation. These fit exactly the same. I am keeping the one that's the bright patterned color. These are from Amazon.
So cute. But
I'm keeping this one that's like navy with bright pink and bright yellow. But the exact same kind of caftan, that it's Bisa Beach or something like that's the brand.
Yeah.
But I also ordered a solid one. I didn't keep it because I didn't need to. But if somebody needs something a little bit more solid or just prefers a solid to like a scream in your face pattern, I'll link to that too.
Okay. So these are darling.
Yeah. I think they're so cute. And they're, you know, $25-$30. I think for something that you can wear over a swimsuit, and then if you want to later on, throw it on and go to dinner, not a bad deal.
Listen, you know how I feel about a caftan, you know? I mean, so I'd kind of forgotten about them too. You know, like I had that summer of my caftans, and then I kind of got off of them. But this makes me want to start up again.
I know that the second one that I'm linking to, that's the solid, just the little ruffles along the side of it, remind me of like the early days of my caftan fascination, because for a while there, everything had little ruffles going down the side and I loved it. So,
yeah, no, anyway. It's a good item. Okay. Well, these are great favorites. So I feel like this sets us up for some summer success, you know?
Well, what could I want more than everyone's summer success? You know, what do I dream of more than that?
Listen, and we all need it. It's like I told Sophie, y'all, before we started recording, I was like, I think as a Texas girl, I think my seasonal depression comes in the summer, because it just gets too hot. It's too hot to do all the things that I really like to do.
It makes sense.
It does.
The heat and interferes with everything.
It does. And it's like, and now it's like rained, which I'm so thankful for the rain, but the mosquitoes are bad. So it's like, I can't sit out on the patio. I don't know. There's just a lot of, I don't know. I don't thrive in the summertime is what I'm going to tell you.
I don't either. I don't either. And it's not nearly as hot here as it is there, but I don't, I'm trying to get up and get going and sort of, you know, seize the day and all that. But really what I want to do is I just soon get up in the bed and turn on the air and watch TikTok, you know?
If I
could choose, I just opt for TikTok and just wait for the heat to pass.
Yeah. So. Just wait for November to get here, you know, but that's not the life we get to live. For some reason, we've decided to live here in San Antonio, Texas, where it's 174 degrees. And so it is what it is, but
I'm so sorry.
Oh, it's fine. Listen, it'll all be fine. I've got Mad Men. I've got Mad Men to just keep my spirits up.
That's right. That'll really get you going. That'll be the thing that turns it around.
It really will.
Hotel, though. Maybe Love Hotel will turn it around today.
And the UTSA Roadrunner certainly turned it around.
Certainly,
so
yes.
Talk about a lift. Talk about a lift. So, all right, y'all. Well, thanks for listening.
Yes, thanks for listening, everybody. We'll be back next week, and we hope the rest of your week is a good one.
All right. Bye, everybody.